Blog Talk Radio.
USA, where I am broadcasting from on today, the 23rd of February 2011. I will be doing a non-traditional segment today. However, before I go into all of that, I have a special request for all of you, my listeners, for all of you, my Facebook, LinkedIn friend, Twitter friend. My friend's daughter, Joel Tucker, has been missing since either the 14th or the 15th of February. They live in New York. And we are praying for her safe return. And I know that some of you are friends with Joel on Facebook, and so am I. And if any of you have seen Joel, J-O-E-L Tucker, T-U-C-K-E-R, if any of you have seen her or know of her whereabouts, please call me here on the show, or you can call my number at 860-355-9838, or you can send me an email of dynamicdaphne@aol.com, or to my business email, daphne@clarkhudson.com. We ask you to just keep your eyes open. Look on her Facebook picture. If you go on my page, you can look for Joel Tucker on my page. You'll see Joel's picture there. Please help us. Help us to make sure that Joel is safe. And Joel, if you are listening to Aunt Daphne, we love you, honey, and we want you home. Please know that no questions will be asked, no judgment will be passed upon you, Joel. We just want you to know, honey, that we love you and we want you home safely. We know God is with you. We know He is protecting you. And we will have you back home in our arms very soon. So, Joel, we love you. And for those of you, my Facebook family, please help us find Joel. So I look forward to hearing from you and to make sure Joel is home and knows that we all love her and that no judgment will be cast upon her for what is happening right now. So we are just, I just wanted to put that request out and to solicit your help and support. Well, as I did mention before, I'm doing a non-traditional segment this morning of the New Day show. And back in June of 2007, I was privileged to be in the company of Dr. N. Cindy Trim. And I don't know how many of you know who she is, but I'll tell you in a minute a little bit about her. However, while I was in her presence, I picked up a few of her material, and I picked up a little book. It is such an easy read. It's a thin book, tiny book, and it has only 68 pages. And the title of this book is Commanding Your Morning. Commanding Your Morning. And as we go through what we've been going through for these past how many days with Joel and all of what we are faced with, and what we are faced with at the new year for those of us who are in business and entrepreneurs, I decided that I wanted to do a teaching this morning using this book, Commanding Your Morning, by Dr. N. Cindy Trim. And I want you to grab your pens and paper. I want to encourage you to call me. The number is 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. Now, for those of you who know me personally and you have been listening to my show, you all know that I'm extremely spiritual. I'm not religious, I am spiritual. I work and I serve all ethnicity and all spiritual and cultural people. So I'm here as a servant and a vessel. It happens that I practice Christianity, but I respect and converse all other spiritual affiliation and respect and get into stimulating conversation with people of other denomination and other spiritual practices. Now, with that being said, I want to share a phenomenal experience that I had in January. In January, I signed up for a 21 days meditation challenge, through the Deepak Chopra Center. And, oh my heavens, what a transformation that has done for me. I don't know if any of my listeners are avid meditators, but I tell you something, it was such a powerful investment that I did for me for 21 days, consecutive days, to be part of a global global meditation that was taking place. And it has helped me to just narrow down the gap. It has given me additional tools that will enhance my prayer life. And I think that was one of the reasons, too, why I went back and I grabbed this book out of my library and said, you know, why don't I share with the rest of the world some of the things that I'm doing spiritually? So I pray that you too will find something in this segment that can help you to reinvent the way that you are doing business and that you are living your life, and that it will help you to find some solid rock foundation in all that you are doing. So, as I said, I will be inviting Dr. Trim on the show sometime down the road. I respect her work, and I think as entrepreneurs, you too will learn a lot from her and from the journey that she has traveled. So I can't wait to get her on the air with me. But in the meantime, I will be sharing from this powerful book, Commanding Your Morning. And let me read something about Ambassador Dr. N. Cindy Trim, who is the author of Commanding Your Morning. Dr. N. Cindy Trim, a charismatic motivational speaker, preacher, teacher, best-selling author of the Rules of Engagement series, multifaceted executive, dedicated social and spiritual leader, prosperity coach, success mentor, psychotherapeutic holistic consultant, and former government senator. Dr. Ann Cindy Trim has been equipping people to fulfill their individual destinies and to maximize their potential for more than two decades with her message of hope and salvation through Jesus Christ. This influential world leader is the recipient of numerous honors, awards, and distinctions. Founder and CEO of several public and private organizations and ministries, including the Embassy Worship Center, Dominion Ambassador International, Kingdom Life Publishing Company, the Women's Healing Clinic, Cindy Trim Evangelistic Association, and Kingdom University. Dr. Trim is highly respected as a crusader for empowerment and is recognized as a general in the art of prayer and spiritual warfare, an expert in kingdom economics and biblical finances, and a cutting-edge authority in the message of the kingdom. This book that I'll be sharing with you today by Dr. N. Cindy Trim is an invaluable tool that gives valuable success principles in the operation of prayer and intercession, practical prosperity declarations have been constructed and engineered to empower the reader with divine strategies for positively changing the sequence of their day and prophetically influencing the course of their destiny. So, Commanding Your Morning. And I will be going through here. First, I'll be doing the introduction. I'll be reading through that. Then we are going to do the instructions. And after that, we are going to do activation and declarations. Now, commanding your morning. Each of us have new mornings that we need to command. Some is commanding a morning of graduating from college. Some is commanding their morning of getting a spouse. It might be a wife or a husband, a significant other. Some of us is commanding the morning in our businesses and the different aspects of our businesses. Each and every one of you, as you listen to me this morning, teach from this book, I want you to personally choose what your morning is that you are working on commanding. You need to be specific so that when you command your morning, there will be no hindrances in the manifestation of your morning. Now, I will go out and tell you that my morning that I am commanding right alongside with you this morning is the morning of my finances and the positive cash flow. So that's my morning that I want to join and agree with you all this morning that that is what I am commanding. So what is your morning? I want you to write that down, and afterwards, you can always add other things, but I want for you to focus on one morning. And as we go through, and I will be sure to tell you where you can pick up the little book afterwards so you can have it as a resource guide to use. Now, beginning on page 5 is the beginning of the introduction. And Dr. Ensign de Trim started off by saying, to many people, life poses a problem. They are stuck. There is a collective cry that echoes throughout the earth. People don't know what is happening with their lives. They have come to believe that life is a mystery that cannot be solved. Some have come to believe that success and prosperity are destined for everyone else except them. Many feel powerless and victimized by the events of their lives that spiral out of control. Others experience short seasons of success and prosperity and despairingly long seasons of trials, tribulation, setbacks, and lack. Their lives are governed by success undermining mantras such as stuff happens, life is unpredictable, if things are going to go wrong, they will go wrong at the wrong time, all good things must come to an end, if it is not one thing, it's another. And this is as good as it gets. These are self-fulfilling prophecies that will come to pass if you allow them to take root in your mind. This is why in 2 Corinthians 10 verses 4 through 5, and this quotation is from the King James Version, tells us, For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The Word of God has the power to realign anything that is misaligned, especially faulty mindsets, systems of belief, ideologies, traditions of man, and doctrines of devils, and lie and exalt themselves above the will of God for your life. They must be pulled down, cast down, and thrown into captivity under the Lordship of Christ. If you are a believer, life does not have to be a mystery. You can take control of your life and experience divine success and prosperity. The Bible indicates that we live in the best of two worlds. Upon salvation, you are transenumerated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, a kingdom that opens to you unlimited doors of opportunity, which enable you to discover your purpose, maximize your potential, and experience abundance. Jesus spoke many parables so that his disciples could conceptualize this powerful kingdom and live successfully in it. When I speak of success and prosperity, I speak of these two words from the context of the kingdom. Success is the fulfillment of divine purpose, while prosperity is having enough divine provision to overcome obstacles. Once you press out of one situation, realm, or domain, the new situation, realm, or domain is supposed to manifest in greater strength than the old. In other words, you will go from glory to glory and from strength to strength. You will live in successful kingdom life as ambassadors of God's glorious kingdom. As an ambassador, you are called to represent your Heavenly Father in the earthly realm. The world has formulated an erroneous and limited concept of God, and you are called to demonstrate his greatness through your lifestyle. You are to represent him, or present him again, in every arena of secular interaction. God has called you to be his showcase in the earth. Everything about you should reflect the glories of the kingdom, from the clothes you wear to the shoes you wear, from the car you drive to the quality of your life. All should demonstrate the limitless glories of the kingdom. You are also called to bring the system of this world into divine alignment. 1 Peter 2:9 from the NIV tells us that we are king, prince, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into the wonderful light. Your priestly anointing empowers you to worship and offer sacrifices of praise to God, while your kingly anointing gives you the power and the authority to legislate, regulate, enforce, establish, institute, and constitute. It also gives you the power to reign, rule, and dominate. As a believer, you must understand that you have been given kingdom principle keys, so that according to Matthew 16:19 from the NIV, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In other words, whatever you allow in the earthly realm, heaven allows. Whatever you disallow in the earthly realm, heaven disallows. Whatever you may say no to, heaven says no to. Conversely, whatever you say yes to, heaven says yes to. Remember, nothing leaves heaven until something leaves earth. This is how powerful the spoken word is. It has the ability to opening or closing spiritual and heavenly portals. Scriptures are repleted with principles that support the power of the tongue. The Bible clearly states that whatever you decree has to be established. Job 22 verse 28 states, "Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. And the light shall shine upon thy ways." Did you get that? This scripture refers to your kingly anointing. A king does not beg or cry for anything. He does not have to. A king has the legal power to decree, which is an old English word for legislate. You must manifest your kingly anointing to decree blessings over your life, your ministry, your marriage, your family, and your business. Every decree is pregnant with power and potential. Psalm 2 verse 7 indicates that God utilizes his prerogative and grants the same to his earthly ambassador representatives. He decrees and declares. David used his right to decree and to declare in order to turn the tides of Israel's unfortunate fate, and to defeat their enemy, Goliath. In the book of 1 Samuel 17:46-51, David addresses his enemy with the conviction and authority, and he states, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and unto the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass that when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took hence a stone and sling it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell on his face in the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with his sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they flee. Since the spirit realm is the casual realm, Goliath was dead long before he was struck by the stone and beheaded by the sword. Remember, according to Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. I am convinced that as believers, we tend to live beneath the standard of God has ordained for us, his children, because of ignorance. We do not know that our daily declarations and decrees have the power to alter the destiny and change the quality of our lives. Proverbs 13 and verse 3 states that he that keepeth his mouth, guards and watch what he says, keepeth his life. If guarding words cause you to keep your life, imagine what happens when you do not guard your words. Here is an example of someone whose mouth prevented him from tasting the blessing. 2 Kings 7, verses 1 through 20. Then Elijah said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gates of Samaria. Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said unto another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, and if we sit still here, we will die also. Now, therefore, come and let us fall into the host of Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall die. And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come into the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there, for the Lord had made the house of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, when the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the king of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Therefore, they rose and fled the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and flee for their lives. And when these lepers came to the utmost part of the camp, they went into the tent and did eat and drink, and carried hence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent and carried hence also, and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. And if we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore, come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they come and call unto the ports of the city, and they told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no one there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we were hungry, therefore they are gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the fields, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. And one of the servants answered and said, let some take, I pray thee, five of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they are all the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed. And let us send and see. They took therefore 2 chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of Syrians, saying, go and see. And they went after them unto Jordan. And lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels, which the Syrians had cast away in their hustle. And the messengers returned and told the king that the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. As a measure of fine flour was sold for the shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel. According to the word of the Lord, and the kings appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate, and on the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. As the man of God had said, who spoke when the king came down to him? And it was come to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, 2 measures of barley or shekel for a shekel, a measure of fine flour for a shekel, therefore, for the 2 measures of barley for a shekel, and the measure of fine flour for a shekel shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And that Lord answered the man of God and said, now, behold, if the Lord shall make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. And if it fell out unto him, for the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. The prophet Elijah spoke the blessing of God into manifestation. It took 1 prophetic declaration to change the economic landscape of the entire nation. The Lord, who influenced the king, met divine declaration with skepticism and unbelief. His words literally aborted the blessing of God in his life and caused him instead to lose his life. The man died because he refused to agree with the plan of God and scoffed at the methodology of a blessing. However, 4 lepers who were not in the close proximity of the declaration were prospered by it. They had experienced a sudden surprise and supernatural supply because of a prophetic expulsion that opened the windows of heaven. Hosea 8 and verse 7 from the NIV states, they sow the wind and reap whirlwind. This text demonstrates the powerful nature of words. Place your hand directly in front of your mouth and declare out loud, I am blessed, all of my needs are met, and I have more than enough to give. Did you feel the power of those words coming forth out of your mouth like a breeze? Those same words will come through, will come back to you, manifested as hurricane force-like fashion, blowing into your life abundance and blessing. Words released into the atmosphere do not disappear and dissipate. Words have power, presence, and prophetic implications, and no geographical limitations. They create a magnetic force that pulls the manifestation from other realms, regions, and dimensions. I want to welcome guest Green Beasley, guest number 3003 and 3040. I am doing a teaching this morning from Commanding Your Morning, which is a book written by Dr. N. Cindy Trim. And what I had suggested at the top of the hour is that each and every one of us have different mornings that we are commanding. And I don't know what your mornings are, but I highly suggest that you choose a morning. I'll tell you, for this teaching this morning, my morning that I am commanding is the morning in my finances and my cash flow. So please identify a morning that you want to command. And I'm just going through the introduction of this book. And then we are going to go into other aspects of the book for the remaining of the show and to declare and decree. This is not about religion. This is about us getting in tune spiritually and connecting in order to command what is rightfully yours. So I thank you all for joining the conversation this morning. The telephone number is 646-915-8166. If you desire to call in and share any experience about your spiritual connection and affiliation and how it has directed your life. So again, I thank you for joining me. Okay, so let me continue. Okay. Words released into the atmosphere will not disappear or dissipate. Words have power, presence, prophetic implications, and no geographical limitations. They create a magnetic force that pulls the manifestation from other realms, regions, and dimensions. They are suspended and incubated into the realm of the spirit, waiting the correct time, an optimum condition for manifestations. Joshua released a declaration after the conquest of Jacob. He said in Joshua 6:26, cursed be the man before the Lord that risen up and builded the city, Jericho. He shall cry the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. These words hung in the atmosphere for approximately 600 years until their manifestation in 1 Kings 16 verse 34 states, Hiel the Bethelite built Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abraham, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his first son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Joshua, the son of Nun. Did you get that? The death of Hiel, first and last born, occurred as a result of the words released out of the mouth of Joshua and the corresponding action of Hiel. Again, in the book of Numbers, the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and died, not because they were lost, but because they legislated through their own mouths the duration of their wandering. Because of their capious, negative, and ungrateful chatter, they ignorantly altered their destiny from a journey that should have lasted approximately 40 nights, which is a 2 weeks period, to 40 years. This was this fate, F-A-T-E, the devil, the origin plan of God, or their own doings? Scripture clearly reveals that the 40-year wilderness journeying occurred as a result of their ensuing words. In Numbers 14, verses 1 through 13, and 28 through 35 reveals what happened. All of the congregation lifted their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we die in the land of Egypt, or would God that we die in this wilderness? And therefore, had the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey, were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spoke unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have shown among them, I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a great nation, a mightier than they. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your curses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, will have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell herein. Save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun, but your little ones, which he said should be prey, then will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the mid wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your weardoms, and unto your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, every day of a year shall he bear your iniquities, even 40 years. And ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be summed, and there shall die. Again in Proverbs 18 verse 20 tells us, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. The children of Israel release a curse upon their own lives, their wilderness wanderings were a cause and effect issue. They choose to believe, to report awe of defeat, reiterating it, and as a result, for every day they murmured and complained, The scripture tells us that they experienced a year in the wilderness. They did not know that their words were full of death. They did not know that their verbalizing complaints altered the trajectory of their destiny. What should have been a fortnight to accomplish instead took them 40 years. The exceptions were Josiah and Caleb. Josiah and Caleb, whom God sustained. They were partakers of God's Canaan promise because they released positive words into the atmosphere. In Numbers 13 and verse 30 records, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." The principle of this story is simple. Words affect your destiny. One day of murmuring and complaining has the power to set you back for a year. I want to repeat that to you, my listeners. Words affect your destiny. It affects your destiny. It affects my destiny. And one day of murmuring or complaining has the power to set us back 1 year. So if you got nothing else out of this teaching this morning, I want you to write this in bold letters. That is one day to 365 ratio. Therefore, you can't afford to release capricious words out of your mouth, because the spirit realm takes every word uttered from man as a command and a mandate. It does not discriminate between jest, a joke, a desire, an order, or a decree. This is how powerful that spoken word is. Sometimes your success, progress, and blessings can be held up and hindered, not because you are speaking negatively, but because others have released negative words into your life. Do not let people merely happen to you. Do not let life merely happen to you. Get actively involved in your own destiny. Reverse ill-spoken words, hexes, spells, and ill wishes. Become active in facilitating, designing and constructing and engineering your life. What do you want your life to look like next week, next year, or even the rest of your life? According to Isaiah 46 and verse 10, God knows the end from the beginning. Make inquiries concerning the plans he has for you. Since he knows the end from the beginning, he must know everything in between as well. Seek his face in prayer and meditation. Discover his will as he speaks to your heart and your mind. Then legislate his will in the earth realm through daily declarations. You must remember that your words, that by your words, you establish life or death, blessings or curses, successes or failures. In Matthew 13 and verse 52, Jesus states that a person who is instructed into the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. We should seek wisdom and principle for prayer from both the Old and the New Testament. Prayer is a kingdom discipline. It is the means by which we communicate with the omnipotent and omnipresent God, and how we communicate and how he communicates with us. I believe that our prayers should be constructed in such a manner that they issue from the font of the Word of God. In order to keep your prayer life vibrant and existing, you should use a variety of strategies and diversify your agendas. In this teaching, my goal is to empower you with the power, with a power strategy that I call commanding your morning. Morning does not solely refer to the hours registered on the face of the clock, but also the period of time that exists before things happen. You do not have to wait to get sick or experiencing financial loss or plummeting marriage or relationships before positioning the posturing yourself to pray. I believe that many occurrences in your life are the work of the enemy and can be prohibited through prayer. In the New Testament, we read of a specific prayer strategy Jesus employed in Matthew 14 verses 22 to 32, and it states, and when we had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out of fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And then Peter was come down out of the ship and walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, He was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. In the above text, Jesus teaches us how to gain control over our day so that we dethrone evil from its place of power and diabolical posture of destruction. This tragedy we are about to embark on is particularly useful during times of transition. Transition requires a change in how we pray because the natural man cannot understand the things of God. In transition, we must seek the counsel of God, not the counsel of man. Also, we must be careful not to embrace the counsel of spirits. Fear, example, fear, doubt, non-belief. Jesus had prayed anywhere from 10 to 20 hours before he got his release. I believe that he was using a specific prior strategy that I have coined commanding the morning. Long before the enemy manifested himself before the storm, Jesus had programmed life, prosperity, and success into his day and into the lives of his disciples. The devil could not kill them or cause them to fail, although they met with frustrating circumstances, they prevailed. This principle can be found in the Old Testament as well. In Job 38 verses 8 through 13, reveals a conversation God had with Job. He asked a series of questions that pose the principles of commanding your morning. Or, who shut up the sea with doors when it broke forth, as if it has issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and stick darkness a shadowing band for it, and break up in my decree place, and set bars and doors, and said, Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days? And cause the day spring to know this place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it. In verse 12, God asked Job, have you commanded the morning? Long before the average believer has awakened to even consider his or her day, witches and warlocks have been diligently perched up on their posts, releasing spells and hexes. The witching hour is the time when supernatural creatures such as witches and demons and ghosts are at their most powerful, and black magic is reported most effective. The midnight hour is considered to be the greatest time to effect change and transformation in the spiritual, in the spirit realm. By the time we Christians arise for what we call early morning prayer, which is usually somewhere between 3 and 6 a.m., those that work with the dark art of deviation have completed their diabolical assignments, and the satanic sabotage of the day has already been set in motion. Many people have been frustrated simply because they have been praying amiss. They missed the time of declaration and neglected to command their morning. This divine principle is taken from Genesis 1, verses 5, 8, 13, 19, 23, and 31. And the evening and the morning were the first, second, and third, and fourth, fifth, and sixth day, respectively. God actually worked from the evening to the morning, rather than from the morning to the evening. Therefore, those early hours of prayer should be placed between the context of the evening to the morning watches, which actually begins at 6 p.m. and ends at 6 a.m. It is important to understand that the ending of the watch is just as important as the beginning, because it is during this time frame that the enemy all attempts to set up its ambush to attack. Therefore, if you are assigned to pray between the hours of 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., according to 1 Peter 5:8, you must be sober, be vigilant, because your adversaries, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. If you are assigned to be the last two watches of the night, 12 midnight to 3 a.m. and 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., your role is an important one, because you are standing in the gap to reinforce the prior hedges that have been established in preceding watches. Remember, the last watch is more effective if those assigned to it understand that it becomes more effectual when it is downloaded into the context of the entire night watch vigil. Every effort should be made to reinforce a prior agenda that is embraced by all watches. As a chief intercessor, Jesus knew the most effective time to pray. He was God in action, and he deemed it as a divine imperative to begin his prior watch sometime during the first watch, which was approximately 6 p.m. He was so adept to prayer as a prior general that he was able to pray with fluency, proficiency, clarity, and accuracy for hours. I pray that God will grant you the same divine ability. During this generation, a watch constitutes a 3-hour period, The first watch should begin 6 p.m., the second 9 p.m., the third 12 midnight, the fourth 3 a.m., the fifth 6 a.m. Each watch consists of 3 hours and should be a total of 8 watches, 4 in the night and 4 in the day. If you are a mathematician, you have probably concluded that 8 watches conclude 24 hours. After a period of successful ministry, Jesus orchestrated a new object lesson for his disciples. He wanted to expose them to the discipline of kingdom living. For kingdom living demands disciplined effort, strategic prayer, and divine awareness. The night prior to his kingdom event, the Bible indicates that he spent a minimum of 10 to 12 hours in prayer. I believe that Jesus was establishing God's divine agenda in the earth realm and downloading victory, success, and prosperity into his day. While dislodging evil, he was commanding the morning and taking authority over his day. To command means to instruct, to dictate, to exercise authority, to master and conquer, to control, to keep watch, to manage, to administrate, to regulate, to give orders to demand so as to receive what is due, to rule, to decree, and to supervise. Don't miss this principle. The power for change in your mouth, the power for prosperity in your mouth, the power for health in your mouth, the power for wealth in your mouth, the power for successful ministry, marriage, business, relationship, and whatever is in your mouth. When you command your morning, you download success in your day. When you command your morning, you give your day divine assignment. You must be willing to declare and establish in the spirit realm today that which you want to see manifest tomorrow. When you understand and implement this prior strategy, you will literally begin to experience what I call overnight success. When I say overnight success, I'm referring once again to the power of the spoken word in relation to God's eternal plan for your life and your prior posture relative to setting these plans into motion. His plans are to bless and not to curse, to make alive and not to kill, to prosper you and not to cause you to fail. Prayer during the night causes your morning to be bright, and particularly about with blessing. You will stage your day with power and end it with blessing. Remember, when you refer to days, nights, and seasons, we are not referring to time on the clock or the day, month, and year of the calendar. We are referring to the timing of the Lord, which requires neither a clock nor a calendar. His timing for blessing is now and is regulated by simple acts of obedience. In Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 through 2. According to Isaiah 1:19, scripture declares, states that if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Are you willing? When you employ this strategy, you activate the 24-hour anointing, an anointing that brings all elements surrounding your life into divine alignment with purpose. This anointing brings you to a kind of prophetic critical mass. An example of this would be the life of Joseph. One night, after a long period of captivity, he went to bed a felon and woke up the next morning prime minister. All the elements of his life collided with purpose and exploded into a prophetic critical mass. There was nothing or no one that could stop his success and prosperity. When you command your morning, nothing or no one can hinder, alter, or abort your destiny. Praying prayers overnight will make you an overnight success. I decree and declare that you implement this strategy of commanding your morning. By this time tomorrow, your life, family, marriage, ministry, health, etc., will begin to come into divine alignment. I decree and declare that by this time tomorrow, your emotions, your emotional, psychological, physical, and rational state will take a turn for the best. A new day is dawn for you. Now, I want to tell you again, the book is by Dr. N. Cindy Trim. It's called Commanding Your Morning. And you can go on her website, cindytrim.com, and you can look for that book. And I'm just praying that this will help you. Here are the instructions, and everything is so clearly written there for those of you who want to get the book. Instructions. Decree and declare prospectively. This is a prayer posture where you respect whatever you are decreeing and declaring to come to pass. There should be no doubt in your mind that God wants you to prosper. And there is affirmation to this in Job 22:28 tells us, "Thou shalt also declare a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways." Since the spirit realm is the causal realm, expect that whatever you are praying shall come to pass, because it has already been sealed in the spirit. God has already released things before the foundation of the world. He has assigned a specific time and season for them to be released. Do not be counterproductive in your prayers. By praying one thing and confessing the other. Be consistent in knowing that whatever you commit, the releasing of those things that pertain to your life and godliness, to prayer or faithful confession, God is saying that whatsoever, positive or negative, faith or unbelief, you loose is loosed. And whatsoever you bound, do you understand? Whatsoever, good, bad, little, or big, whatsoever. Matthew 18:18 says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Decree number 2, decree and declare authoritatively. Make your declaration in Jesus' name. God declared authority to us as believers that we may accomplish his will in this earth. Inherent within his divine authority is the mantle of responsibility and accountability. You are responsible to speak in accordance with the divine will that has been spoken concerning you. Kingdom authority demands that you become proactive in the establishment of purpose in your life experience. You are not to be dominated by circumstances, but you are to take authority over them and decree the will of God into manifestation into the name of Jesus. John 16:23 states, in that day you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in his name. Ephesians 3:20 from the Amplified Bible. Now to him who by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly far above all that we ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Use the book for prayers walk. I have personally integrated the declarations contained in this book into my daily exercise routine since I love to walk and must exercise. In order to maintain and sustain my health, I kill 2 birds with 1 stone. Fervently speaking, this practice not only facilitates principal physical strength, stamina, and physical health, it also builds strong prayer muscles, prolificates prayer stamina, and strengthens spiritual fortification. As you walk, release these powerful declarations into the atmosphere for at least 3 consecutive months and watch what God will do. He is getting ready to blow your mind with blessings. He will reverse negative circumstances without a shadow of a doubt. He will show up mighty on your behalf. Your breakthrough and miracles are on the way. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ears heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Decree number 4. Decree and declare early. Praying early does not only refer to the hour of the day, but is also referred to praying before something happens or before situations escalate. Praying early is a kingdom principle, Matthew 20 and verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. God is an early riser. Jeremiah 7:13 says, "And now because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rise up early and speak, but ye heard not, and I called you, but ye answered not." God strikes early in 2 Kings 19:35. "And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of the Assyrians, and 185,000. And when they rose early in the morning, behold, they were all corpse." God, the master strategist, empowered Moses early in the morning in Exodus 9 and 13. "And in the morning said, and the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh, and said unto him, thus said the Lord God of the Hebrew, let my people go, that they may serve me." Exodus 24 and verse 4, "And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning, and built an altar unto the hill, and 12 pillars, and according to the 12 tribes of Israel." God speaks through and to his servants early in 2 Chronicles 10:20. In 2 Chronicles 20:20. "And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear ye, O Judea, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and he shall be established, believe his prophets, so shall he prosper." And the psalmist rose early to pray in Psalm 57:8. "Wake up, my glory, awake, psaltery and harp, I myself will awake early." Psalm 63 and verse 1, "O Lord, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, and the dry and thirsty land where no water is." Jesus rose early to pray in Mark 1:35, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into the solitary place where they prayed." The people of God rose early to hear him in Luke 21:38, "And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple to hear him." John 8 and verse 2, "And early in the morning he came again unto the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them." The first church rose early in Acts 5:21. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and thought, but the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. God wants to give you prophetic jump start in your day. In Jeremiah 35 and verses 14 to 15, the words of Jonabad, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine or performed, for unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearkened not unto me. I have sent also unto you all the servants, the prophets, rising up and early and sending them, saying, return ye now, every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them, and ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers, but ye have not inclined your ear nor hearkened unto me. Rise early and command your morning. Isaiah 26 and verse 9. With my soul I have desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgment are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. I have included a list of activations to declaration that you may start utilizing during your time of prayer. Don't merely read them, but pray them. Seek them out aloud. Speak them out aloud with your faith, your authority, and your power. Let today be the unveiling of a fresh anointing in your life. Let today be the day that you apprehend the power that God has given you to make these activation declarations a vivid part of your prayer routine. And watch God turn things around. You are on your way to success and prosperity as you declare today that which you want to see manifest tomorrow. You shall declare a thing and it shall be established. I'm going to go through some of the declaration for the remainder of minutes. We have, and I pray that you can pick the book up and just use it and call in here and let us just share ideas of how that has helped us. So here are some of the activation or declarations. Father, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that my spirit man is clad with the armor of the Lord and the armor of light. I come in the volume of the book that is written for me. According to Psalm 143, verse 8 and 10, Let the morning bring the word of your unveiling love. For I put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go. For you I lift up my soul. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me. Synchronize and syncopate me to your will, your agenda, and your divine calendar. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom is my priority, Lord. Fulfilling my assignment is your kingdom is my pleasure. I walk in timing of the Lord. I function and conduct my life's affairs according to your original plan and purpose. I command my day to fully cooperate with your plan and purpose for it. Superimpose your will over the will of evil spirits and evil men. Empower me to serve you in holiness and righteousness. Grant me divine kingdom asylum and diplomatic immunity. Since I dwell in the secret place of the Most High God and dwell under the shadow of the Almighty, evil shall not come nigh my dwelling. Foil the arrows shoot towards me by day and cause night terror to cease. Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord, for I hide myself in you. Take hold of the ends of the earth and shake evil out of its place. Dismantle evil powers working to frustrate my day assignments and activities. Preserve my life and my loved ones from fear of the enemy. Hide me in the secret counsel of the wicked, from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity. Since my times are in your hand, deliver me from the hand of any enemies and from those who persecute me. Arrest envy, contrary spirit in your mighty and powerful power. Cause demonic destiny altering activities to cease. Overthrow the horse and the riders. Dismantle destiny altering activities to cease. Overthrow the horse and the riders. Dismantle diabolical ordinances, bills, and laws. Change legislation, policies, and procedures, statutes, regulations, and codes so that your will is performed in the earth without frustration and setbacks. Break evil and inappropriate patterns and of thoughts in my mind. I speak peace into my life, relationships, ministry, workplace, business. Everything that is misaligned, I command to come in divine alignment in the name of Jesus. I have the mind of Christ, and therefore seek these things above and not the things beneath in the name of Jesus. I anoint to think creatively. I'm anointed to think creatively. I decree, I ascend unto your new realms of power and authority and access new dimension of divine inspiration. My mind is free from all past and present negativity. I will not set aside or look back in order to use old ways, old methodologies, or old strategies. I receive the spiritual upgrading of my mind. I reiterate, I have the mind of Christ. I decree and declare that since I wear the helmet of salvation, it protects my mind. Truth protects my integrity. Righteousness protects my reputation, and gospel of peace grants me diplomatic immunity. The shield of faith ensures my future and destiny, and the sword of the Spirit grants me dominion and authority. I have a kingdom paradigm which grants me new ways of thinking, new ways of working, new ways of living. I thank you, Father, for granting me cutting-edge technologies, methodologies, tactics, and strategies. Father, annihilate dead cycles and destroy cycles of failure and frustration. I decree new cycles of victories, success, prosperity. Replace the old cycles of failure and poverty. Cause the east winds of judgment to blow into the enemy's camp. Speak peace to disabolic fly cones and Euroclandon winds that are designed to bring shipwreck and disaster in my life. I ask that you assign them as a divine warrior on my behalf. Close the gates of death and seal up the doors of affliction and torment. Open divine portals and grant me access to new effectual doors of opportunity, gates and access, windows of divine inspiration, insight, and revelation, paths of righteousness, avenues of success and prosperity, multiple streams of income and cash flow, highways to places of divine assignment and prosperity, and channels for transition and deliverance. Teach me your way so that I may know how to conduct my affairs in the most expeditious and stupendous manner. I pray that this teaching today will help you in some way to just command your morning. And as always, it was a pleasure to be with you on the air this morning. I want to encourage you to pick a copy of the book up. It's by Dr. Cindy and Cindy Trim, and it's entitled Commanding Your Morning. Remember that you were created with a destiny. Do not allow anyone or anything to tell you otherwise. I'll see you on Sunday at 7 p.m. when we will again have an episode on life issues. This is Dynamic Daphne saying, stay blessed and follow your destiny. And remember, command your morning.
Breaking of day, it's destiny.
That I know what I know what I know what I'm here for, yeah.
God. You may not be able to touch him right now. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody. You're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and praise your God.